You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Thursday, which means we got some crappy football games on tap this evening, and tonight is no different. We got the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. Well, we're going to break it down, and Paul Bovey's going to join us from the West Coast. Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. Paul Bovey will join us. We'll talk some NFL, but we've got some interesting NBA games on tap tonight. Dwayne Wade returns to Miami for the first time. That's kind of flying under the radar. I'm not really sure why the Miami Heat are favored in this basketball game. Bovey's a very, very good NFL capper, but NBA's awesome. NBA's his thing, but he's been kicking ass in the NFL this year as well. So Paul Bovey is going to join me. Normally Warren Sharp joins us every Thursday. Sharp is out. Chris Meaney is in, so you better be good, Meaney, because Sharp brings it. Sharp brings it, but so does Chris Meaney. So Chris Meaney will join us. Meaney's a big Eagles guy. We'll focus in on that Eagles-Falcons game this Sunday. We'll talk a lot of NFL football on the show, and we're going to send it to Las Vegas, Nevada, where my main man, Teddy Covers, will join us from Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. So, yeah, a lot of stuff, man. We got a crappy NFL game. We got some NBA. I think it's a full slate in the National Hockey League. I've kind of, I haven't paid much attention to the NHL in the last couple of days with the election and football and the NBA, but I'm all electioned out, man. I saw Trump going to the White House this morning. I was like, yeah, guys, like, is there anything else going on in the world besides Donald Trump? Like, is there anything? You know, I didn't want Hillary to win, but I don't want to see Trump on TV 24-7 for the rest of my life either, right? So, hey, it is what it is, man. Got a ton of stuff going on, so let's get right down to business. As we've got another Thursday night classic on tap tonight, don't we? I know that everybody at work is, like, just looking at their watch thinking, man, only 6 more hours, man. Man, the countdown's on. I can't wait. Can't wait to see the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns throw it down tonight. Really? Really? Why? Why? I love football as much as anybody, man. I bet on everything. But why? Why are you doing this to us? Nobody wants to see the Cleveland Browns. People in Cleveland don't want to see the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland and Baltimore? Like, why are you doing this? You know, but I guess, no, I guess it makes perfect sense because, you know, you've got a great quarterback like Cody Kessler taking on Joe Flacco. So why would you put Dak Prescott and Ben Roethlisberger? Why would you put Dallas and Pittsburgh in primetime? Why would you do that? You know, Denver Broncos playing the Saints this weekend. Now, let's bury that on Sunday afternoon because, you know, we got to showcase the Cleveland Browns, you know. They are 0-9 after all. Got to showcase the Browns. And I know right now, and I tweeted this out earlier, and God, like really, people, I know everything. So don't start telling me stupid things that I already know. Well, Marenzi, every team has to be on national TV once. Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that. I've watched every NFL game since 1977. I don't know that, right? No, I didn't know that. Thanks, jackasses! You're so stupid. Yeah, I know that. And I've told you a million times. If every team has to be on TV at least once, you put the piece of crap Cleveland Browns on TV in week 2. Before they suck. Before they're terrible. It's not rocket science, man. You know, they're spending tens of millions of dollars. They got market research and focus groups. Heard the NFL had a little meeting with the Players Association. Gee, shucks, guys. Ratings are down. I wonder why. Because you put the Bears on TV 4 times already. 4 times Chicago Bears on national television. Why? Did anyone think before the season started, oh, the Bears are going to be good this year? Like, did anyone think, you know what? You know what we need in November, once we get to week 10, when it starts to count? We need the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens on TV. Like, for the love of God, guys, it's not rocket science, man. You know, I'm off script here because I'm just getting mad now. It sucks. It sucks, sucks, sucks. And ultimately, it really comes down to a similar situation. Although I am all electioned out, the reason Hillary Clinton lost is because she was arrogant. She just thought, you know what? People will vote for me because they don't like Trump. People will vote for me because I'm a Clinton. People will vote for me because Barack's telling them to. And it's the same thing with the National Football League. Goodell just thinks, you know, they'll watch the games because they're morons and they love the NFL. Well, people are morons, but they ain't loving the NFL as much as they used to anymore. So ultimately, you know, throw out your little rules here of well, we have division games and, you know, have teams coming off a bye. So you get good football. Throw out this divisional crap on Thursday nights and give us the primetime matchups. You know, tonight they're not putting the, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks on our national television on the TNT games. It's ridiculously stupid, but I guess, hey, it is what it is, and we got to live with it. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions live on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, I got a little fired up off the top of the program, man. Like, really fired up. My heart's still going right now. I'm sweating like crazy and stuff. Like, oh, man. All right. So, you know what? This game tonight, though, my intro rage is basically stop putting crappy teams on TV every primetime Thursday nights. But, like, I get it. There was division games. I get it. Oh, they got to put every team on national television once. I get it. You know, but like I said, you know, rules are meant to be broken. Like, throw out this crap, man, about division games on Thursday night. And put bad teams on earlier in the season. You have, like, just put the Browns on in week two. So it's out of the way, and you know they're going to suck, and you don't have to deal with them later in the season on national television. They're going to have to do something. You know, the ratings are going down, and they wonder why. You put the Chicago Bears on prime time four times out of 9 weeks so far, guys. Like, figure it out, man. It's like, really? All right. So anyway, let's get down to business and make some money here, man, because God knows I need it. Ted Safransky joins us. Teddy Covers, sportsmemo.com. One of the Covers experts joins us live from Ted's Sportsbook and Casino. Off the strip in Vegas. What's up, Teddy?
How are you, Gabe? Good to talk to you, buddy.
It's always a pleasure, Teddy. So let's jump right in here, man. Is this a horrible game, or is it so bad tonight it's intriguing?
I mean, it's the NFL ratings are down, and I think Thursday night football has more to do with it than anyone's talking about. Because Thursday night football is not a good product. Okay, it hasn't been a good product. It continues not to be a good product. And what happens is that when you have a Thursday night game and a Sunday night game and a Monday night game, all of a sudden, well, I watched a game on Thursday. I don't need to watch the Monday night game or the Sunday for the casual fan. I think the Thursday night game is hurting the league as a whole, and this game's not likely to do a whole lot to help them. I mean, Cleveland isn't 0 for the season by accident. They are a dismal football team on both sides of the ball. Baltimore gained, with the exception of the 95-yard catch and run by Wallace. And by the way, that was all Wallace making, you know, somebody miss and then race. It should have been a 10-yard pass, and then that's that. With the exception of that one play, they gained 2.8 yards per snap last week against Pittsburgh. That's not a team I can lay more than a touchdown with. Their offense has been broken all year. That hasn't changed. Every once in a while, they load up and get a deep pass downfield, and Flacco makes a play to one of his receivers, but in terms of their ability to chunk out yards on the ground, they can't do it. And their ability to dink and dunk down the field, they can't do it. Their whole offense is somebody making a play and getting loose for a touchdown, and that's problematic. So, I mean, I guess I would take Cleveland here as the only choice. The Browns have been a dead nuts over team. They've been an over machine this season, and that probably would be the first way that I would look for this one. But I've got my concerns. Kessler couldn't move the football last week, you know, even with a situation where they get Corey Clement back to go along with Terrell Pryor. Now they have two big play wideouts. They still only managed a single TD last week and couldn't run the football. So that concerns me enough that my lean towards the over is just going to stay in the lean category. I do not have any money on that actual wager.
You know, it's come down from 10. I heard Westgate was 7.5. I'm seeing 8 offshore for the most part, Teddy. And, you know, the Brownies are 0-9. And oftentimes, like, we'll talk about Duke in a couple of minutes. Duke are 3-6, but they're 6-3 against the spread. You know, like, there are bad football teams, Teddy, that are bad with the one-loss record. But in the betting market, we're like, man, these guys cover a lot. Cleveland don't. Like, they're 0-9, and they're only 2-7 against the number as well, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's the classic team for me this year in college football. They lose every game, and they cover every spread.
Yeah.
You know, you love teams like that lose but cover, because the markets don't get hot on teams like that.
Exactly.
The way they do on teams that actually pull off the outright upset. But, I mean, Cleveland has a handful of covers. They didn't, I guess, week two, they didn't cover against the closing number against Baltimore. I remember that game.
It was 20-0, Teddy, right? It was 20-0 that game, yep.
They gave Baltimore everything they could handle, and the Ravens made a bunch of mistakes.
But this
in
is the one team, Teddy, and I don't have to tell you, but I remember last year, and it cost us in the Super Contest, I was on the Browns in that damn blocked field goal was returned. So frustrating. But you look the numbers up, Teddy. The Browns have actually covered 5 of the last 6 games they played against the Ravens. They beat them last year in Baltimore. They should have beaten them in Cleveland. They got the field goal blocked in overtime. And the number that catches my eye, man, is that John Harbaugh, 3-12 against the spread, is a division home fave when laying 3 or more.
Sure, and that's the key with Baltimore. So many of these Raven games, all year, this year, last year, the year before, they're coming down to one play at the end of the game. Baltimore has been a great underdog and a lousy favorite, particularly when we're talking about spreads of more than a field goal. You know, the MO for Ravens games has to be -3 or higher. You look to the you look to go against Baltimore. A +3 or higher, you look to go on Baltimore. That's been a money-winning strategy throughout the Harbaugh era. I'm not convinced that changes tonight.
This is hard to believe, Teddy. As bad as the Browns have been, they've never been 0-10, 66 years of playing football. They've never lost 0-10.
And you look at Cleveland's schedule, I mean, it doesn't get any easier from this.
I know.
If the Browns are going to win a game, tonight might have to be the night.
You know, before the year started, Teddy, I saw there was books, and it said, you know, the offshore guys, especially street guys, it's amazing. Like, they're so much, like, better than Vegas. Like, they give you all these crazy props and stuff. So I remember, you know, the street guys are like 15-1 that a team doesn't lose a game and 15-1 that a team doesn't win a game. And I didn't think it was enough value, Teddy. I'm like, come on, man. Yeah, 16-0 or 0-16. We got to be talking 40-1, 25-1 minimum, 15-1. I'm not doing this. But you look now, the Cleveland Browns, +270. That's what they'll pay you that the Browns go winless.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's only been one 0-16 in NFL history.
Yeah, you know, that's why +1,500 wasn't enough for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. I don't look at your bet as being a bad bet, you know?
No, I didn't bet it. I didn't take it.
I mean, look at your pass as being a bad decision not to make that bet. I'm with you.
I thought the Browns would win 4 or 5 games this year, Teddy.
They were lying, 4.5 wins.
Yeah, I did. All right.
I mean, things went bad for Cleveland from the get-go. RG3 got hurt in the first quarter at Philadelphia, and they haven't gotten any healthier. I mean, it's been one injury after the next since. But had RG3 been there for the full season and the receiving core been there for the full season, they probably would have won 5 games, 4 games maybe.
RG3 shouldn't have been hitting on models online and leaving his wife and stuff. Like, karma struck him pretty fast.
Oops.
I don't know. I guess you can't say if every player that was an adulterer in the NFL or every athlete was in success, it's a bad gauge. But I just remember it was such a jerk thing to do. And I don't get into guys' personal lives, but I remember I even told someone, I was like, yeah, this is bad stuff's going to happen to him. And boom, like it just did after. All right, Teddy, so let's not spend all night talking about this game. So you got to lean to the over in this game.
Yes.
All right. So Seahawks and Patriots, man. Seahawks and Patriots. You know, so the Thursday night game sucked. The Sunday night game's getting the Pats and the Hawks. First time they played since that Super Bowl, Teddy.
Yeah, but it's a very different situation for Seattle now compared to that Super Bowl. Remember, that Super Bowl, of course, they're rested. They had 2 weeks to prepare.
And
this
they were
time
good. They were actually good then, too.
Seattle's still good.
Yeah, they're okay. You're right, yeah.
But this is not a spot where I'm expecting the Seahawks A-game defensively. When you look at what they've had to do the last 3 weeks on the defensive side of the football, on the field for more than 45 minutes in that crazy OT game against Arizona, and then against New Orleans, the Saints play ball control and try to run the ball down Seattle's throat. And this is the Seahawks defense on the field for close to 40 minutes in that game. And then again this last weekend against Buffalo.
Buffalo went up and down the field on them.
They sure did. And now, again, that was Monday Night Football, so it's short week, traveling east off of 3 games in a row where the defense was on the field for way more than they normally would be in a game. I don't think we see Seattle's A game this week, certainly not on the defensive side. And at this stage of the campaign, I've got the Patriots ranked 4 points higher than my number 2 team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like Alabama, aren't they? It's a good.
They are.
It's like Alabama, New England, and everyone else, right? In both leagues, you know what I mean?
It's not even close. Yeah. And I went back and looked, and I haven't seen a power rating differential like this between the number 1 and number 2 teams in the NFL for me in at least the last 10 years. I went back since the Patriots.
So if the Patriots played the Cowboys on a neutral field, you'd have the Pats like a 7-point favorite type deal?
If the Patriots are in Dallas, they're chalk. Okay.
Yeah. -4 at Dallas type thing.
No. I mean, I think my power rating number is for Dallas is, I think, 4.5 point differential. So it would be, in theory, New England 1.5 in Dallas, New England 4.5 in neutral, New England 7.5 at home.
All right. So, you know, we talk about the Browns being 0-9 and 2-7. Pats are 7-1 straight up and against the spread. Their only non-cover was the shutout against the Bills when Brissett played at the last second. Another interesting number here, but I guess all of Belichick's numbers are pretty good. He's 12-4 straight up off a bye.
Sure. And I mean, Belichick with extra time to repair. In terms of a freshness differential here, you're not going to find a much greater one this NFL season than the one you're going to find this
week. What
about
the total at 48.5? Should get there, I would imagine.
I don't trust the Seahawks defense to get stops.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, not against that offense. The Patriots with the two tight ends right now. You know, we haven't seen this offense since Aaron Hernandez went to jail. But when you have Bennett and Gronk as the two tight ends going downfield, Brady's got somebody he can chuck it up to on every single play. And, you know, that opens everything up for Blunt in the middle. I mean, it's a tough matchup for a Seahawks defense that's very good, but also very gassed.
Where are the Seahawks in your power ranking? So the Pats are number one. Where were the Hawks? Are they top 10?
Oh, yeah, of course they're top 10. They weren't in my top five. I think they're six or seven, somewhere in that range.
All right, so let's talk about the Cowboys and the Steelers game. This is getting fun right now. It's getting real right now, Teddy. I said yesterday the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl because Trump won. They're one and the same. Like, they, you know what I mean? They just represent everything. They are the same. But the hype train's already big. And a couple of weeks ago, the Pokes, even though they were winning, they were 11-12-1 to win the bowl. Now they're in the 8-1 range. The hype train's going to get real big if they beat Pittsburgh in this spot here. Pokes 7-1 straight up, 7-1 against the spread, 3-5 to the under. Pittsburgh are 4-4, but they've never had their you wrote about it, Teddy. How many games have the Pittsburgh Steelers played where their starters have played?
None. I mean, none. They have had injuries literally on every unit. Roethlisberger been hurt. They've been missing wide receivers. Bell was out. The offensive lines suffered injuries all year. Defensive front, linebackers, secondary, on and on down the line for Pittsburgh. There have been injuries literally on every unit. Right now, they're as healthy as they've been all season. And last week, they looked ugly against Baltimore. Make no mistake about it. It was very ugly.
Costly, they Teddy. I had them. I know.
Yeah, they haven't been on the practice field together. They were on the practice field together this week. The offense finally showed signs in the fourth quarter. I mean, don't be fooled. I think they had 66 yards of total offense after three quarters.
Yeah, two first downs after three quarters.
Yeah, I mean, it was really ugly. But they did find some rhythm in the fourth. I understand the markets. I mean, the line here is one that for your casual bettor, maybe it stood out a little bit. You know, it opened at Pittsburgh -3 against Dallas. You know, Dallas is really good. Dallas went to Green Bay and won. Dallas won. They're like New England. They're the point spread darlings of the NFL this season. But from a spot perspective, this is absolutely circle the wagon time for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a way that it's not for the fat and happy Dallas Cowboys. So I would only look towards the home favorite here. Dallas has been really good, and I'm with you on their Super Bowl potential. But not this game, not this week.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe it's better for the Super Bowl potential, actually. Cowboys almost need a wake-up call. And if they lose a game or two, the public will abandon ship, right? And it'll drop from 8-1 back to that 12-1 or whatever. And you get a nice hedge if they make it. The NFC is wide open. All right, Teddy, we've got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about tonight's card collegiately. Maybe something in the NBA if it catches your eye. But North Carolina and Duke. And, you know, Teddy, I know you well enough now. I didn't bring up the Sun Belt game, all right? I'm not even bring up Lafayette. But we got ACC. We got you know, just top 20 teams playing in both games here. North Carolina and Duke. Point spread is 11. I think the casual bettor, like we talk about, Teddy, you're going to look and see, oh, North Carolina put up a ton of points. These guys score a ton. They're scoring 34 points a game. They're 7-2. Look at Duke. Duke's a basketball school. Duke are 3-6. They must suck. Yeah, Duke are 6-3 against the spread, man. And Duke have had bad luck all year, man. They've lost the last two games by 3 points each. They've had a lot of heartbreaking losses over the year. Huge rivalry game, but North Carolina are a very good offensive football team.
A really good offensive football team. I mean, Mitch Trubisky is a guy who I kind of got turned on to at the end of last year. All he's done this year is make me money. I mean, he is likely to be the first overall quarterback selected. Not Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky. the Tar Heels guy. And I don't trust Duke to stop this defense, to stop the Tar Heels offense. I really don't. When you look at recent meetings, where they hang 66 on Duke last year, I know they got into the 60s in that ballgame. Maybe it was 62. But the Blue Devils defense, you know, they don't have a great pass rush. They don't have great athleticism in the secondary. They don't have a great defensive line. It's not an upper echelon or one of the better defenses that David Cutcliffe has had. Now, Duke's been a feisty underdog. I'm with you. But this is also a series where there's very little home field edge. There's going to be as much North Carolina support as there is going to be Duke support in that stadium tonight. The two schools only 7 miles apart, and tickets widely available. Duke's football does not sell out every week. And I think that the Tar Heels are the better of these two teams by a pretty wide margin. Such a young team for Duke. And a first-year offensive coordinator and a squad that they've lost all of these tight games. And now they're facing an opponent that's going to punch them in the mouth if they get the chance.
I've watched them too, Teddy. They're undersized. They're just overmanned, right? They try. They battle. They're overmanned. And it's not the best Duke team. I know. Yeah, Cufflet's a hell of a coach. All right. I'm getting the hook here, Teddy. So quickly on the way out here, the Utes. I'm a big Ute guy. I was on them in their last game. I took them on the money line against the Huskies. Nearly got it. But cashed that 10 nicely. Utah's been good to me over the years. I'm a big Whittingham fan. They probably cover the 6, but the total catches my eye more here, Teddy. I think the Williams guys, quarterback Williams, running back Williams, can both be successful against this soft Devils D. And Wilkins moves the offense. The Devils offense moves when Wilkins is there. I think we can get to over 55, Teddy.
I'm not in love with it. You know, and Utah's not built to be a team that's going to score points in bunches or give up points in bunches. Their offense is very pedestrian. It's Williams left, Williams right, Williams up the middle. That's all they have on the offensive side of the football. So I've got my concerns about Utah's ability to put up points in bunches here. And defensively, the Utes are sound. We saw that against the Huskies, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again tonight.
Ted Savransky, check him out. Get his picks over at sportsmemo.com. You can watch his daily videos, SBR video, Sports Bit. Just go to YouTube, Sports Bit, or follow Teddy on covers and Teddy covers, and you got all the videos. And of course, one of the covers experts. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers.
There's Ted Savransky from Ted Sportsbook and Casino. So what do we got? Chris Meany next. We got Chris Meany joining us in studio coming up next. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, Warren Sharp's out. Chris Meany's in. What's up, Meany?
It's hard to fill those shoes, I'll tell you that.
That's what I said earlier. This guy brings a lot of wealth of information.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'll see you later.
And I love Meany, too, but I heard Sharp just canceled the last second. I'm like, damn. They're like, you want Meany? I was like, I like Meany, but man, Meany's not going to break. He's not going to give us these numbers, man. But yeah, Meany, you got a lot. You're a smart guy, Meany. So
appreciate
we got
that.
Warren, though. The bar's so high with this guy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
It's pretty much like, and it's no disrespect because we all have our fields, but he's just so good at NFL numbers.
It's like
and analytics. It's like
Montoya playing tonight instead of Carey Price.
You know, it's almost 10-0. Like it's like the professor of science or something.
Yeah.
And you're like the top student, Chris, in the class. It's like the professor, hey, Chris, I need you to give the speech. Yeah. I got to go take care of something.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, so let's get into the theory of.
Yeah, McCormick says to me earlier, he's like, yeah, you know, Warren Sharp canceled. Can you jump on? I'm like, what? Seriously? Yeah, I can do it.
So, you know, I just heard something fall. It's like, am I dropping money there? I really don't have any money to even fall. Would I have like a $20 bill in my pocket here? I always like that when you see hosts on TV. How much money do they have? How much money do you have in your pocket?
$0.
It's pretty embarrassing. A 5.
It's got a 5. It's like the Monopoly money, right? Well, we were talking about that the other day. The Canadian. Look at this guy, eh?
Look at this.
Slapping down all your money, picking up against the Dallas Mavericks.
See, in the Fantasy Sports Network world, $35, you get killed. Like, Meany's like, my God, I've never seen that much money in my life.
Man, that's what they offered me to come on here, $35.
Yeah, so what, you guys, no joke, you guys in the booth just put, like, how much money you have in your pockets?
Yeah, I have $0. I actually never have cash on me anyways.
I used to be one of these guys that I had to have at least like $800 on me at all times.
Oh,
yeah. You know, you never know when you run into a hot hooker or something. Just kidding. So,
he's not kidding.
I'm kidding. So, yeah, but it's to the point now. Yeah, $30, $35 bucks, man. That's it.
Hey, well.
You know what you can buy with $35, huh? So let's jump in here. Ravens and Browns tonight. I'll ask you right now, will the Browns win a game this year?
No.
A lot of people think tonight's their last shot at doing it.
I guess, because it's Thursday and the games are always so sloppy.
I should remind people, they do play the Bills in a couple of weeks, don't they?
Yeah, they won't beat the Bills. Hey, the Bills play pretty good against Seattle.
Oh, so what? Like, moral victories. Like,
I guess. I don't think that they will. I mean, I like Baltimore in this football game. They're just a better overall team.
You don't even need
Warren Sharp numbers to say that.
Thanks. Great insight. Great insight from me. I'll take Baltimore. Cleveland are very good.
We've been picking on Cleveland secondary all year long. It's made us like Ryan Fitzpatrick 1 week. We liked him. I mean, why wouldn't we like Joe Flacco and you know, Steve Smith is
back. I
like
Mike Wallace tonight. Over 63.5 yards. It's one catch.
One catch. I mean, in week two, he had two touchdowns against Cleveland. He's burned teams over the top all season long. Yeah, there's a lot to like about Mike Wallace. Flacco is the perfect quarterback.
I think there's going to be some points on the board. And I tell you, every time, guys, and I heard Drew saying earlier on camera too, Livingston, saying that I'm excited for tonight's game. I have a ton of players in fantasy playing tonight.
Yeah, we're in the Monday-Thursday contest together. So, we both have four guys who have gone, and we're flirting around the 90 points. So, yeah.
And, of course, I love on Monday, everyone's like, no, you don't want to take anyone tonight.
Yeah.
Because it's Bills-Seahawks game. You never know. Yeah. Everyone on the field had like 40 fantasy points on Monday.
I had your boy Tyrod in that game. He had just as many points as Russell Wilson, but he was like a couple $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I almost feel like I'm ahead of the game. A lot of people are down on
tonight. Pitta will be a lot of points scored. I'm telling you, there's
going to
be touchdowns. And like interception returns, it's going to be all kinds of crazy stuff. They went to overtime last year on Thursday Night Football. The game won't suck. It'll suck, but you know.
The line opened up 10.5 favorites, and I jumped on Cleveland at when it opened
up
originally.
Smart. 7.5 in Vegas.
7.5 now, and I do think it could be within a touchdown. But I do like, obviously, I like Baltimore in this football game. But a lot of people are down on Pitta. I mean, we saw what Jason Witten was able to do, and tight ends are able to exploit Cleveland all year long. So I think this could be a big Pitta day as well.
I'm a big prop guy, Chris. I looked at the running backs tonight. I didn't like it. Like Crowell, I don't trust. He's too up or down.
Yeah.
Terrence West is up and down.
Inconsistent too. Yeah, and Kenneth Dixon getting some more.
See,
play.
I think there's gonna be a lot of throwing tonight.
Yeah,
I see the quarterbacks. I'll give you my props later, but I like Joe Flacco over 23.5 completions. Six of the eight games this year, he's completed more than that. Perception Flacco sucks, but he doesn't really suck, but they do throw the ball a lot.
There was a four-week span in the season where nobody threw the ball more than Joe Flacco this year.
It's always, Harbaugh is a let's throw the ball down the field type of guy, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into a high-profile game involving your Philadelphia Eagles. I've always said it, man, like you're the guy till you're not the guy, and things can change in a hurry in the NFL. First 3 weeks, everybody loved Carson Wentz, and oh, look at him. He studies when he goes hunting.
On a date,
he's on a date looking at his playbook, and this kid's the best. And now all I hear is, this guy doesn't throw the ball longer than 5 yards, man. Check down. He's always checking down.
Yeah, you're right.
And when he does throw it longer than 5 yards, it's often dropped.
Yeah, I know. You're dealing with a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, an inexperienced young wide receiver core that really hasn't helped Carson Wentz out a lot. I mean, 2 weeks ago when they played Dallas, he threw the ball only once over 20 yards. Only once. Last week he threw it more, but this is like, you're going up against Atlanta, who scores points at will. I mean, they're a high-scoring
team.
You got
to throw the ball down the field.
You're
going to
have to throw. Last week they had 9 plays over 20 yards. Philadelphia has had 9 plays in their last 5 games over 20 yards, so that's a concern. They got a young buck in Triggs who played last week, who can stretch the field a little bit. I saw Carson Wentz take some shots with him. I don't think it's that Carson Wentz can't take shots. I think it's just Doug Peterson has the way he's drawn plays for Wentz is just a little bit of, you know, 5-yard passes here.
Let us not forget where Doug Peterson.
There,
coming
yeah.
from, guys. He's a Kansas City
exactly,
guy. He
exactly.
was the OC with the Chiefs. He was a quarterback in the NFL, backup, but he was a quarterback in the NFL. But he's got a dink and dunk mentality.
Absolutely.
That's his strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? He was vocal this week in how he wants Philadelphia to run the ball a little bit more. Well, that means you have to play Ryan Matthews a little bit more. You can't run the ball all the time with Darren Sproles, so that doesn't make any much
sense. What's the deal with Matthews anyways? He's not hurt, but he doesn't get the ball.
He's not hurt, but he doesn't get the ball. The only time he gets the ball is in the red zone, and he's had touchdowns this year, so I have no idea what it is. I mean, he'd rather play Smallwood. You saw the last two games. I mean, really, Philadelphia probably should have won those. We're looking at a team that probably
The Philadelphia, the Dallas game for sure. Like people are freaking out. You know, the girl Beth gave us a video yesterday at a sports guru bitching about Peterson's play calls.
Ruined her Sunday.
Yeah, ruined her Sunday. Yeah. Calling about the play calling. But let's not get overreacted here. That Dallas game, they fell apart, man.
They fell
ridiculous.
Apart. They fell apart. They didn't have Matthews. They had Sproles run the whole game. And then Wendell Smallwood, who's a rookie, who was going into the football game in the fourth quarter, his first snap was a fumble. And they only gave it to him because the week before, a couple weeks before, Ryan Matthews fumbled the ball with 2 minutes left in the fourth and gave that game away to
Detroit. So who
do
you like in this game? It should be a high-scoring game.
I like the over. It's 50 points. Philly was favored in this game originally, but I do like Atlanta. Even though Philadelphia has been the better team at home, I mean, at home, they're 3-0. They're outscoring their opponents 84-23. But Atlanta has been a good road team as well. But Atlanta, as well as they've been doing scoring, they're giving up the fourth most points.
Atlanta scores 33 points a game. They're racking up 492 yards of offense a game.
But they've given up the most passing yards.
They give up 28 points a game.
28 points, and quarterbacks are scoring the most against them. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I like the over. I know it's high in 50, but I do like the over in this football game, especially if Atlanta's going to – I mean, they have the best wide receiver in this game, the best quarterback in this game, the best running back in this game. So you figure they're going to be able to score points. As good as Jim Schwartz's defense has been, you get Benny Logan back, who's going to be a big boost as well. I think they're going to be able to still score points, and that means Philadelphia is going to have to try to match them, and I think they will be able to put points up against Atlanta as well. I don't like them to win this game. I like the over.
All right.
I'm leaning Atlanta.
Broncos.
I like the over.
Broncos and Saints is an intriguing football game. Broncos are 6-3, but you know, I hate them because the three games, I swear, I've been on all three of their losses. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
They're also 6-3 against the spread, which just pisses me off too now. but I have been riding the Saints, Chris. I think the Saints are a good football team. People don't realize this. I caught on earlier, and I remember I took the Saints on the money line against the Chargers. People are like, nah, dude, they're 0-3. They're going to be 0-4. They suck. Their defense gets carved. They battle. Their defense is getting better. They're running the ball more. They're trying to stay out of these huge track meet games. And don't look now, man, but they're in the mix. They're 4-4 straight up. You know,
division is winnable, too, if Atlanta does lose a couple games.
They're right
games.
There. Yeah. The NFC, no one's running away with anything in the NFC. Because the Denver Broncos coming to town, who got pushed around last week. Denver scoring 23 points a game. Defense only giving up 18 a game. Saints put up 30, but they give up 29.
I like the Saints. I like the Saints. A lot of people are down on Drew Brees. I still think he's a top five quarterback this week. At home, he averages over 320 yards per game. He's got a nice weapon in Michael Thomas, who's been great. I mean, he passed the test against Seattle. I know Seattle's defense hasn't been as great, but he passed the test. He had 6 targets, 6 catches. I mean, this offense is fine. You mentioned it, the run game. Even though Sean Payton is not giving the ball to Mark Ingram, who's the better back between him and Tim Hightower, it has opened things up a little bit for him, and it's kind of put a chip on Ingram's shoulder. You see when he got the touchdown last week? This guy was the most excited football player we've seen all year. He was fired up. He was amped up. He's dropping all kinds of F-bombs on the sidelines. He's fired up. He's ready to go. And you know what? Denver's offense, they went into Oakland. We thought that was a great matchup. They didn't do anything. And you know what the problem is? They have no run game.
Yep,
Maybe Booker's not that
good. What a surprise. Hey, maybe C.J. Anderson. Maybe he's one of the best running backs in the NFL.
That offense going, right?
Dude, without C.J. Anderson, they don't win the Super Bowl last year. There were so many times, the Cincinnati game, he pops one in overtime. The Patriots game when they were down by 21 or 17.
He scored an overtime.
CJ coming back over in the Super Bowl. CJ Anderson is that guy that made that play. Whenever it's like, man, this game's tight. Boom, Anderson. Yeah. Even in the Super Bowl, dude.
Yeah.
Right after they missed that field goal. I know I had like a lot of money on Carolina. Right after they missed the field goal. Right, the first play after the missed field goal, CJ popped for 56 to the 7-yard line or whatever. The guy's a baller, man, and Booker's not ready for this.
No, I don't think he is either. He's just been better as like a change
of pace. We got to get out of here. So you're liking
the Saints. I like the Saints. I think I'm leaning. Drew Brees is obviously a better quarterback. Denver's defense is better, but there's better weapons in Seattle and New Orleans, and Drew Brees is awesome. I'm on board with the Saints this week.
Chris Meaney, check him out on Fantasy Sports today, every day. We got Paul Bovey joining me next. Game Time Decisions, we are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. Show replays at 5:30 if you missed earlier portions of the program. And if you did, what the hell's wrong with you? And it also replays at 5 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. You can download on your iPhone, Android, mobile device. The radio's kicking ass, man. We're getting a ton of uploads. Our viewership is really growing, specifically in the New York City area, guys. So shout out to everyone watching us on Cablevision and Optimum Cable right now in the NYC. So let's bring in Paul Bovey, who's in L.A. right now. Paul, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Cablevision, that brings back memories, Gabe. I was a Cablevision guy.
Yeah, you're a New York guy, right? Yeah, yeah, that's right. We're on cable. To me, it's funny. Like, growing up, too, like, I was a Knick guy growing up. You know, the Raptors weren't around then. I was a Knick guy, and, you know, I'm an East Coast guy, too. So I was actually thrilled. Like, I've done a lot of my career. Oh, yeah, I was serious in different networks, but I was stoked. They're like, yeah, we're on Cablevision in New York. I was like, damn right, man. Home of the Knicks and the Rangers, baby.
Home of the Knicks and the Rangers. Now I believe it is the, I don't know, Yes may be involved.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I go way back with the Knicks, Marv Albert, and it was good times back then. Hey, we haven't won a championship since 1973, but who knows? Maybe in the next decade we'll get that accomplished.
I remember, Paul, you told me once, you said that you saw I was on in a at the horse track in Mexico. You said you saw the show, and I was like, man, I remember telling you, I was like, no, I must just be, I think you're confusing me with the carton guy or something, with Boomer. See, there must be another. And you see, you named the guest that was on the show. You said, no, you were talking to this guy. You said, Gabe, it was you. And I was always baffled. Why the hell are we on a racetrack in Mexico at the OTB? But I think they probably picked it up from New York or something off the satellite, Paul, you know?
They probably did. They probably did, Gabe. Hey, Mexico has a lot of good things. I'm not going to go into that. We'll save that for another show.
I've never been to Tijuana before. I'm scared. Like, people are like, there's one guy. I was in Vegas. He's like, we got to go to Tijuana. Let's just go now. And I had a buddy of mine. He was like, don't bring Morenci to Tijuana. He's not going to come back. He's going to get arrested. It's going to end poorly for him.
Gabe, I'll get you to Tijuana and back. No problem.
I hear it's a good time, Paul.
Yes, a good time can be had by all. True.
All right, so we'll find out if tonight's a good time. You like this game? Are you betting the NFL game tonight?
It's so hard to bet this on the side. Gabe, you got a team in the Browns. They've only exceeded 20 points four times, 27 against the Raiders. The other game's 23, 21, 25. So how do you justify laying 10? Then again, you watched the Cleveland Browns last week. They were abominable against the Cowboys, but they have lost four games by a total of 16 points. Plus, they could have easily won that Redskin game where they had a lead heading into the fourth quarter before they imploded with turnovers. So it's not a game that I like on the side. It's not a game that I like on the total, although I would lean to the under. But there are a couple props, specifically one that I really like.
All right, so what are the props? And I disagree, just for the record, though, I like the over in this game. It's going to be a sweat job. It's up to Kessler. Can he move the sticks a bit? But the Browns giving up 30 points a game is something that catches my eye in that spot. And I just to throw up the numbers for people. Harbaugh's 3-12 against the spread when laying more than 3 points as a division home favorites. But what are some of the props? Because I'm a big prop guy. I like three or four props tonight. But, you know, they weren't jumping off the page at me like sometimes they do. But a couple of players intrigued me tonight, so I'm curious to see what you came up with. What caught your eye as far as the props are concerned?
Gabe, I really like Dennis Pitta over. He torched this team back in week two when the Browns blew a huge lead. The Ravens overcame it, win by 5, 25-20. Witten torched him last week. And if you look at the 2 weeks prior against the Jets, they don't use a tight end. Prior to that, Cincinnati, it was Eifert's first game back. Go back to the Patriots, and you got Gronk over 100 yards. And against the Redskins, they let Jordan Reed 9 catches. The next closest receiver only had 4 or 5. So they are very weak against the tight end. And Pitta has a relationship with Flacco. Flacco likes to throw the ball short. I think you get over the 4.5 catches here. Absolutely no problem.
Yeah, you signed me up. You got me sold. You've got me sold on that one, Paul. And just for the record, Paul, let me just do a little bat pack. Remember last night I told you Winston over 1.5 touchdown passes. Man, dude had him like in the first quarter, basically. It was like one of the easiest props I ever cashed. Unfortunately, I was also on the Buccaneers plus the points, so let's not get too carried away in patting me on the back.
Well, Gabe, props to that. You did go over the 1.5, and remember, I called Mike Evans over 6.5 plus money. He had 7 with about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the half.
That was awesome.
So we were both on the gravy train last Thursday.
All right, so we got a hard out tonight. I've only got a couple of minutes left here. NBA tonight. Bulls are at the Heat. Bulls are getting 2.5 points. And, oh, yeah, some guy named Dwayne Wade is going back to Miami for the first time. We've got the Pelicans and the Bucks. Bucks laying 5.5. Pelicans are a train wreck, man. 0-8. They're 2-6 against the spread. Interesting matchup, though, with the Greek Freak versus Davis. Warriors laying 6 on the road. They played last night. They're going to Denver, total 220. And an intriguing late game. Lakers and Kings, Sacramento laying 5.5, total 209. What intrigues you about the NBA card tonight, Paul? Anything catch your eye?
I got an opine on all of them.
Bring it on. We got a couple of minutes, so rapid fire. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let me throw it out here. I'll tell you right now. I like the Bulls to beat the Heat, and I wanted to take Sacramento, but I don't know if I want to lay 5.5. I'm leaning the over there. Slight lean with Denver. Pelicans, Bucks, no strong feel. You go.
New Orleans. They've had some tough breaks. They lost Tyreek Evans. They lost Quincy Poindexter. And they lost Drew Holiday. Now, that's 36 points. So those guys are out with injuries. But the first time they played Milwaukee this year, the Bucks prevailed by 4 points. Plumlee took 3 fouls in 14 minutes. Henson took 3 fouls in 16. Monroe 4 in 18. A huge game by Anthony Davis. Went to the free throw line 18 times. This guy could score 45 points tonight, and I think he keeps them in the game.
All right.
As far as the Nuggets, look, they beat this team twice last year, but the Nuggets are not playing solid defensive ball. They've only held 2 teams under 50% from inside the arc. One of those was marginal. The other was the T-Wolves. I think Golden State gets their points, and I certainly think Denver can score here. 220 seems a very attainable number. I would go over the total on this one. Sacramento. It's one of those situations, like tonight's game, where something has to give with respect to the total. The Browns are an under team.
Yeah.
In terms of, or I should say the Ravens an under team in terms of offense, but the Browns give up a lot of points. Well, here you have a situation where one team doesn't score a lot in Sacramento, but the other team gives up a lot. And I think that Sacramento, now that they have Collison back at the point guard, because Ty Lawson has been horrendous. He's 0-15 from the field the last 3 games.
He's terrible.
And the guy's just not getting the job done. The one really bad offensive outing, the worst offensive outing, I should say, that the Kings had, Rudy Gay was out. Rudy Gay's back in the lineup, so they're healthy, and I think this game is relatively fast-paced, goes over the number.
I love where you're going with that, because that's one of my picks, actually. It's tough, guys. I have to do my picks before the pick segment. I'll let you in on a little secret. So I've already submitted the picks for the 7 and whatever. It's the way the TV works. But I've got the over in this game as well. It's interesting. These two teams historically get into the 220s and the 230s, but the new coach in Sacramento, stressing defense, it's working for them. But I agree. I think tonight's a breakout. We got a hard 60 seconds here, Paul. Dwayne Wade goes back. The thing that caught my eye in this game is the total as well, man, at 200. The fact that the Bulls have scored 100 or more in 7 of 8.
I lean to the Bulls. Look, Dwayne Wade is the type. He played 13 years in Miami. He would sell his soul to get a win here. And I believe he will inspire his teammates to go out and put forth their best effort. Look, Rondo has not been good this year. He's 58% from the line, as expected, 35% from the field, 3 turnovers a game. He's got to step up his game. But they have the personnel. And look, the Miami Heat cannot shoot from the perimeter. It's basically Dragic, Johnson, and that's it. Yeah, they have nobody else.
Their offense is struggling right now. There are only 2 wins against Orlando and Sacramento. All right, Paul, I don't want to run you, but we got a hard out. We got to get out of here. Check out Paul's picks over at VegasInsider.com, NFL and NBA. Guys, killing it. right, it's time for our plays of the day, and we've got a lot of them, guys, so let's jump right in here. Let's start off with the winless Cleveland Browns. What's going on, man? People are pushing each other out of the way. Get out of my way, man. Get out of my way. I got to bet on the Cleveland Browns. This number was 10.5. It's 7.5 in Las Vegas right now in some spots. We can get it at 8 online, and I'm going to take the 8 right now. Give me the Cleveland Browns. Don't forget, they were up 20-0 earlier this year on the Baltimore Ravens at the half before they blew it. Don't forget, they actually beat Baltimore last year. They lost in Cleveland on a blocked field goal that cost me tens of thousands of dollars, literally and figuratively. Give me the Cleveland Browns tonight, plus the 8 points. They're 5-1 against the spread the last 6 times they played the Ravens. And, oh, yeah, you want a number here? Harbaugh, John, not Jim. John, both great coaches. But John Harbaugh, 3-12 against the spread when favored by more than 3 points against a divisional opponent at home. I'll take those numbers. Give me the Brownies. This game's going to go over the number. The Browns gave up like 30 points a game. It's going to go over. Give me the Browns a little bit of insurance on a teaser. Browns plus 15 over 37. Joe Flacco, completions over 23.5. It feels a little high, but I looked at the numbers, man. Flacco's thrown completed more than this in like 6 or 7 of the 8 games. I believe 6 games. Terrell Pryor, same thing, man. Take away the first 2 weeks when Pryor had 3 catches. The guy's been money, man. He consistently catches 5 or 6 or 7 balls. Give me Pryor over 4.5. Mike Wallace. I drafted Mike Wallace real, real late. Or I picked him up off of waivers or whatever. Guy's been great, man, all year. Starting out with that Buffalo Bill game when he caught that bomb. It's been going on all year. Let's go over 63.5 yards with Mike Wallace. Tucker is probably the best kicker in the game, or at least one of them. Field goal a little bit low here at 42.5, 43 at some spots right now. College football. We've got a big rivalry game here. North Carolina taking on Duke. Hell of a basketball game, and it should be a pretty good football game as well. Duke are better than their 3-6 record would indicate. This game's going to come down to the wire. Duke, man, these guys have been snake bitten, man. These guys, like, they've lost a ton of close football games. They're going to battle hard tonight against North Carolina. Utah and Arizona State, kind of a tough game to pick either side. I kind of lean with the Utes, but I think we can get to 55 points. Total feels a little low to me. Dwayne Wade returns to South Beach for the first time, and he's on a better basketball team. Chicago Bulls are running and gunning, and they're winning. They're 4-2 straight up. Meanwhile, the Heat are just 2-4, and they only beat Sacramento and Orlando. Give me the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls have scored over 100 points in 7 of their 8 last pass. Basketball game. Give me over the number in Chicago and Miami. And finally, we wrap it up. What a great game tonight, man. Sacramento and the Los Angeles Lakers. I like Sacramento in this spot, but I don't want to lay to 5.5. Let's go over 209. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be mine and yours.